Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Medical Plaza in Corinth is a locally owned community pharmacy dedicated to providing personalized service at an affordable price. Being a modern pharmacy with old school values, our Plaza Packs program creates an easier and safer way to take multiple medications. MedPlazaRx.com for details.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What's up? Welcome back. Glad to see you guys on this Thursday night. What did I miss? A lot, apparently. Hope all of you had a very happy, merry Christmas and were safe, and Santa brought you all of the good things. And we are back and off and rolling yet again. My name is Michael Borky. This is the Rebel Report podcast. I appreciate you being a part and being here on this day after Christmas. It's been a little while since we've been live, obviously, because of the break. Was in South Carolina visiting my family and had a good time. Little guy got a lot of superhero presents, and we're back here rocking and rolling. And I hope that you guys had a similar week as well. But we got to talk about transfer portal because that's what we got to talk about. The question of the night is, has Ole Miss done enough in the transfer portal to satisfy you, the fan? Have they done enough to satisfy you as a fan? Because there is the portal, quote unquote, closes coming up here in a couple of days. Now, players playing in bowl games and in the playoffs, once those are over, we'll get to enter themselves in the portal even after. Players that are in the portal can still commit, even if it's closed. It's a mess because it's college football. It's a mess. But to this point, Ole Miss's portal class had a lot more star power than last year's. Should you be concerned? Have they done enough? We're talking about that tonight on this edition of the podcast. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to like the video, subscribe to the channel if you have not already, and leave a comment as well if you're watching after the fact. I still would read and engage with your comments, so please don't forget to do that and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report, and if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. In this edition of the podcast, and every edition of the podcast, is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Personal injury, small business, contract disputes. That's what he specializes in. He's in Fulton, but he can service you anywhere in Mississippi. So if you've been personally injured, don't wait another second. Wake up tomorrow and call DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm at 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Also, if you're a small business owner and you need some legal advice, or if you don't at the moment, but that day could come, save that phone number, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. If you need legal advice, call DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm today. He presents this podcast. So what I've observed over the last few days from the Ole Miss fans is contention the right word? Is concern the right word? People are not overtly excited about the transfer portal class so far. And I understand why, but I also got kind of a kick out of when I pulled up the recruiting class rankings earlier and saw that Ole Miss has the number three portal class in the country. They have the number three portal class in college football right now. And you've got fans that are wondering why they're not getting any good players. There is only, so they have 6 4 stars in their class. Only LSU and Texas Tech, who's doing a hell of a job in the portal so far, have more 4 stars, and it's 1. So Texas Tech and LSU have 7. Ole Miss has 6. Texas Tech has 2 more commits than Ole Miss does. I mean, I've seen a lot of people brag on Auburn's class. Ole Miss is ranked ahead of Auburn. So I think that there needs to be a little bit, just from that perspective, a little bit of a deep breath. Just like, okay, there isn't Walter Nolan, who was in the class by this time last year. But you know, there still needs to be a bit of a deep breath when it comes to this. They've signed a top 15 high school recruiting class in this cycle. And now they presently sit at number 3 in the country in the transfer portal. So Can it be better? Yes, we'll talk about that in a second. But it is. They are still, when it comes to player acquisition, doing absolutely fine. And I do like a lot of pieces in this class as well. I think they've really done a good job at wide receiver. I know that, you know, people were focused on Key and Singleton, but there is a cost-benefit analysis that goes into players like that, and you should, I think, really like what they've added at wide receiver with Stribling from Oklahoma State, highly productive player. You got the burner, Alexander, from Wake Forest. You got the high upside transfer with Odom from Alabama. I kind of like what they've done at wide receiver. That was a position of need, and they got that. I really like the more I watch him, the more I look at linebacker. I think Yates in particular, the Marshall transfer, is going to help this team a little bit. I know they're still going to be recruiting linebackers, but I like the trio of linebackers that they've added so far. Completely and totally unsure about what kind of production you're going to get out of them, but you signed a couple of high-ceiling defensive linemen as well with some good athletic ability. There's a lot to like about this transfer portal class, and there's a reason it's number three in the country, with still a long way to go before it's actually finalized, which really doesn't even take place until training camp begins. So that's number one is, you know, if you're concerned, I understand, and we'll touch on some of those things in a second, but keep it in perspective. Top 15 high school class, number three portal class, talent acquisition is still going quite well. I think the biggest thing, though, in what's causing a lot of people to have, is it a foggy perspective? Maybe that's the right way to describe it, is the star power in the transfer portal is lacking this year. A lot of people have talked about that. I think they're right. There is much fewer truly elite level, can't miss, proven guys in the portal so far this year than otherwise. You either have guys that had good high school pedigree that weren't productive at their previous stop, really, or guys that were really highly productive at lower divisions, and you're not totally sure what their translation is going to be. But there is a lacking star power this year in the transfer portal. And because of that, desperate schools are overpaying for players that in last year's cycle would not have commanded the same amount of money, or at least I know revenue sharing has increased the cost for everybody in the quarterback markets, especially insane financially, but there are schools that are overpaying for average players because that's the best available in the transfer portal so far. As we sit here on December 26th at 8:03 p.m., the transfer portal has lacked star power, proven star power, compared to years past. And that is also, I think, inflating some expectations because it does not look the same as it did a year ago. There aren't as many proven available players as there were a year ago. And so you have this desperation heave with some schools that had bad seasons a year ago that are, for example, really overpaying for an average to below average offensive tackle. A receiver that, you know, is really fast and you know, has a tremendous upside, but a receiver that should not command the kind of money that said receiver is commanding because there's just not many high-level ones in the portal. So I think that's part of it as well. Number three, obviously, there's still time to go. There's still players to there's still time to enter. Players are going to continue to do that. Duke's running back hit the portal tonight. Because of Ole Miss's running back woes recruiting, I would expect them to try to get involved with that one. Playoff teams, those players are going to hit the portal. Post-bowl game, you're going to have players hit the portal as well. So there's still time. It is not over yet, even though the dead period or whatever, the window closes here in a couple of days. That doesn't mean that it's done and what's available is only what's available. And number four, the fourth thing that I want to point out is at some point you have to trust what you sign in your high school classes. I know they've added a couple of defensive linemen, but Ole Miss signed four or five-star defensive linemen in last year's recruiting class. They're all either redshirt freshmen or true sophomores by now. And so, yeah, they could be overpaying for average defensive linemen to the tune of seven figures for some of these guys that haven't earned it. Or they can trust their evaluations and trust the recruiting pedigree of guys that they signed in previous recruiting classes. You know, we talk all the time about how you know, maybe there, like, there's a balance, right, where Ole Miss has done an exceptional job getting portal guys, and they've done really good, and they've evaluated well, and they've developed well with multi-year portal guys. They've done really good there, but they're also now increasing their emphasis on high school recruiting. Well, if you're going to do that, those guys need to eventually play for you. And so, you know, you look at the portal class and think, man, they haven't signed a guy like Walter Nolan yet. Why not? Well, maybe because they, you know, there's a chance that they think that they have, maybe not Walter Nolan, but they don't need to go sign six defensive linemen because they've recruited that position well lately. And so at some point, if you're going to recruit high school players and spend all that time, you know, establishing those relationships and paying to get them to come to your school, you got to play them at some point. Same thing with other positions as well, like wide receiver, for example. I know they've added three via portal, but there's still a couple of guys on that roster that were heavily recruited, or like Caden Lee, for example. You know, why spend seven figures on a wide receiver that does the same things that Caden Lee does? At some point, you got to trust the guys that you currently have on your roster to develop and become good players to make sure that ultimately you can be financially sound and also establish a good football team. But also, number five, concerns are fair, and I understand where they're coming from, and there are some positions that you should be concerned about, namely offensive line. I know they've added a trio of players. One of them, you know, started at Arkansas and can help them there, I suppose. The other two coming up from lesser conferences. But I have no confidence or faith whatsoever in the offensive line as it's currently constructed and coached. Maybe there's something that I'm missing there that should tell you that they're going to be so much better there. I have not. I don't know what that is yet. I don't think that you can just run it back as is. But, I mean, as of this moment, that's what it looks like they're going to do. I have no faith whatsoever in the offensive line at all. They added four portal offensive linemen a year ago, and it did not work out. They returned four starters from the 2023 team, and the unit as a whole got worse. They have not made any visible changes there yet, and until they do, I am going to parrot your concerns about that position group and its ability to lead an effective offense, because it was not good enough this past year, and it should have been better than it was. And for some reason, it was not. And until I see improvement, like actually see it on the field, I'm not going to talk about it until it actually happens. Also, the running back position, whether it be because players are getting more money than they think that they're willing to pay to get a player of that caliber or what, they have been in the running back market, and running backs have gone elsewhere. They have brought running backs in to visit, and they have gone elsewhere. Maybe they're all asking for more money, but at some point, you have got to get one. And part of me wonders if, you know, the positive spin would be, well, you know, they're asking for too much. Other schools are just paying too much. And, you know, that's great. That's fine. Considering how they just managed the running back position this past season, forgive me if I'm a little bit skeptical of just taking, just trust the coaches on this one. Taking that angle when it comes to running backs, I think would be a massive mistake. Because trust the coaches, they haven't earned the trust at the running back position. They haven't earned the trust at the offensive line. And as a result, I mean, I'm just going to be skeptical, completely skeptical, until proven otherwise on the actual field, regardless of who they're able to sign. Part of me also wonders if it's easy to recruit against them, because yes, I know it's all about money and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, you're still having to convince the players to play football for you. And part of me wonders if that might be working against them as well. The way the running back position was handled this year is problematic, and maybe it's easy to recruit against that. Also, though, if you're looking for another angle for positive spin, if Logan Diggs is back healthy, he essentially should count in this year's portal class. Tore his ACL in the bowl game last year, was never going to play a big role on last year's team because of said injury. And so you should essentially count him for this year's class, the LSU transfer at running back. So that helps that position there as well. Still desperate at that spot, though. Secondary, they need to continue to add bodies. There's still some work to do in the transfer portal. They need another quarterback. They just need a body in that room at this point. You can't go into the season with just two guys. So they've got to add a body there. It's probably a tough sell. The Penn State transfer never made any sense to me. I mean, I guess he came in for a visit, but guy like him wants to start, and the likelihood of beating out Austin Simmons seems very small as of this moment. So I'm in wait-and-see mode on offensive line, regardless of who they add. They still need to add a running back and secondary help. I mean, they've got some in this class already. You know, Sage Ryan, and I know that was kind of a controversial addition, to say the least, especially according to some. But, I mean, they got Braxton from Arkansas, who's freshman, all SEC guy a couple years ago. So they're adding there as well, but they need to continue to add in the defensive secondary because of how many bodies that they've lost. So they're doing well. It's incomplete at the moment. It's still the number three class. They signed a top 15 high school class as well. Player acquisition is going well. This year's edition of the portal overall is lacking star power, and so you're getting inflated prices with particular guys because of desperate schools and there's not that many available players. At some point, they got to trust their high school guys. And also, if you're concerned, it's justified because of questions that they cannot answer until actual football gets played. And in the meantime, I'm not going to spend time hyping up those particular spots until I see some actual marked improvement there. So all of those five things can be true at the same time. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you, by the way, you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need, whether it's copiers and printers and mail machines, cloud storage, data security, IT projects, whatever it is. If it's technology, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out, absms.com. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority. At 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, let's get to your comments now. Hunter leads us off. State fan here with Ole Miss striking out on basically every running back they wanted. Do you think the Bentley situation is being used against them? Yeah, I mean, it certainly could be. It certainly could be. It wouldn't surprise me if schools are using it against them. I certainly would if I were them. I think some of them are, and they have added one, although he wasn't productive in his 1 year at Missouri, really. But it certainly could be. I think it's a combination of all of them. There's a couple of them, maybe even all of them, that they don't feel comfortable financially going that far, but that they have not earned benefit of the doubt at the running back position because of how awful, not only how awful they handled the situation, but evaluated as well. I mean, Amos couldn't get a single touch. That was a portal running back that they added. So it's not even just not playing Bentley. It's the other stuff that came with that position as well. You know, a freshman that transferred to Arizona, those kind of things. I mean, the whole room was mismanaged, and until that changes, that should be the biggest question. That and then offensive line. Still would like another cornerback, safety, and offensive line. Really missing on running backs, for sure. Yeah, I was a little early. I love to see the comments about how you guys were late and I wasn't late. I appreciate that. I was like 3 minutes early tonight. Look at me. Look at me. Drove all the way from South Carolina today. I have done nothing but eat cookies and cake. And my dad and I were drinking this. It wasn't eggnog. It was like this this bourbon cream thing. Oh, man, it was good. And I feel so awful today. And that 8 hour drive, my goodness. But man, my little guy is so perfect in the car. It's unbelievable. One stop, 8 hour drive, one stop, kind of hanging back. Every so often ask me how far we are. That's it, man. He's awesome. Anyway, you guys don't care about that. Honestly, haven't focused hard on the portal class with the holiday and playoff football on, but it seems like a good class so far. But yeah, they've still got work to do and quite a while to do it. Yes, the saw that with the Ole Miss signee's father who was stabbed to death today. Just obviously thinking about and praying for him and their family. Just a senseless situation, and just so sad. So sad. I couldn't imagine. And yes, the portal talent is not as high level as the past few years. Definitely a lot of players getting the money they really aren't worth. Just look at Auburn's class. Absolutely. And the things that you hear aren't always true, right? Some dollar amounts are overinflated, whether it be posturing agents, whatever. But I have it on really good authority about one particular player that transferred to, we can call it a desperate school, coming off of a bad season, and the money that was offered, and it's shocking. Shocking. But not many players available at that position, and you got a school that's desperate, and so they'll do whatever they have to do to even become average again. Do you think some of the top guys Ole Miss did not land isn't too bad of a thing considering the prices and overall quality? And especially like at wide receiver, right? I mean, they miss on Singleton, right? Or tried to get him, and I don't know why that ended or how that ended. But if you look at their wide receivers, are you missing Stripling? Maybe you are. Maybe you are. But I think that you should feel at least comfortable with what they have so far at wide receiver. Especially after, I mean, if you look at this season, I know this is going to be kind of harsh, but Trey Harris couldn't give you much in conference play. He was hurt. And Juice Wells just was just a bust, just simply a bust. So their best receiver couldn't get on the field. Juice Wells, who was supposed to be this major impact, almost harmed you, certainly did not help. So it was like Watkins, who was also playing banged up, Caden Lee and your tight ends, one of which had a bad knee. Daquan Wright ended up having a great season, though, and you should feel good about that position as well, with the Arkansas transfer coming in with him. That's a pretty stout room there at tight end, so... A lot of nuance, I guess. How do I view what LSU is doing with their portal strategy now with a lot of pressure on Brian Kelly? They have the number two class. I mean, they're not as desperate as, say, Auburn and Florida State, but there's a little desperation there, right? That there is a little bit of desperation, probably some overspending, but you got to do it, man. I mean, that they're coming up short, and that they have had players leave their program. Brian Kelly has to win this year. Then how about Mississippi State? They're basically having to overhaul the whole roster, basically the entire thing. I mean, they have needs at every single position, have had needs at every single position. So that portal class for them should be large. If it's not large, they have 16 commits right now. I mean, to me, they need like 10 more. Especially on the defensive line. Not only were they not talented, they were thin as well this past season. And that's, unfortunately for them, on the defensive line, like some of the guys they're taking, former four stars that went to Auburn and didn't play. But that's kind of just what's available at defensive line in the portal right now. So needing that position in this crop of players that's available is kind of tough. That's not a great spot to be in for them. desperately needing defensive line, and that being the available players. But they've done okay. I mean, it's there are guys in their portal class that they will be able to use and will be upgrades than what this past team was at spots. There are. Just how big of them and how many of them are there? That's the question, because the entire roster, when you go 2-10, and are non-competitive as they were, you need everybody. And not only do they need 25 portal players. Sorry, my neighbor's being loud. Not only are there 25 portal players that they need, I think, but basically all of them need to be good evaluations. That's tough. No more little backs. A little running back can be useful. The problem is they had a little running back and they treated him like he was Jerome Bettis. That's the problem. Henry Parrish's size wasn't the issue. It was the way they used him. That was the issue. Agreed on the offensive line. Big concerns there for next season. Could tank the entire offense when you bake in already how predictable they are. Or if they have smaller backs, but bring in a Rashad Amos, pay him, and maybe give him a chance. No, couldn't do that. Should go after Saluka as a backup quarterback. I understand why. Here's my concern, though. I think this is his last year of eligibility, so you might not be able to bring him in anyway. But that's the guy, I had to Google it to make sure. So that's the guy that quit on UNLV. I mean, maybe he would be willing to come in and be a backup, but I don't know if you want that kind of energy in your locker room for a guy that's probably not going to help you much. And I don't know. Maybe he's a great kid, and I say kid. I mean, he's of drinking age. He's an adult man. But he could be wonderful and just had a weird situation unfold, but I don't know if I'd go there. I have a feeling, I could be wrong, but I have a feeling that that is going to be off-putting for a lot of schools. Thought they did pretty well in the pass-catching department, tight ends and wide receivers together. Yeah, the four of them, that's a good crop. That's a good crop. Why is Ryan controversial? Because I don't think he's as bad as LSU people think he is. In fact, I would die on that hill. But he has a reputation, not off the field. I don't know anything about him off the field, but as being a liability. And Ole Miss has needs in the secondary. And it's, you know, why get a guy like that when you've seen him be a liability at LSU? What's going to change about Ole Miss? That also speaks to the quality of player in the portal. But I don't think he's as bad as LSU people think he is. Also, finding elite-level players in the secondary is difficult. There's not really many. And I do think that he will be in a better system than he was at LSU. Really need a Deuce Knight? Not for that price. Not for that price for a guy that's definitely not going to play for you this year. Would be quite ironic if they got a visit from Star Thomas ahead of the Gator Bowl. No kidding. I mean, I was thinking, I thought to myself, and I put it in a group chat. I was like, what are the odds that Lane Kiffin watched the film, you know, prepping for the Gator Bowl and saw him and were like, hey, go throw him an offer. Yeah. O-line problems are at least partially due to the RPO-based offense. You kind of run block and kind of pass block instead of all-out run block or all-out pass block. But here's the thing. They've led the SEC in rushing every year under Kiffin, basically, until this year. I mean, I guess they finished second one year. But they've been a great rushing offense. And it's not just Quinshon because they're a great rushing offense. I know Lebby was there, so I guess it's a little bit different. But they've run the football well until this season. Even last year, a lot of that was masked because of ability from who they had in the backfield. But still, they've run the football well until this season, and it was a catastrophic failure on all levels, development, everything, personnel, all of it. So maybe they need to go back to the drawing board schematically. I'm just not smart enough to tell you what they need to do there. I'm just, you know, I'm limited in my offerings to you guys. Saw Duke starting running back at the portal. Even if guys are on a pitch count, there's very little reasoning as to how Ole Miss should lose the bowl. A 10th win could be some goodwill for the time being. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they need to win this game. They need to. Losing this game with the opt-outs that Duke has had and the season being a disappointment and being quote-unquote at full strength, I know they're like you. I know they're not going to play the whole time, but still. This is a game that they need to win. Get into the offseason with some momentum. I mean, they've recruited and added players well. You can go back and sell 10 wins again. It's 39 wins in 4 years. That's really good. That's good anywhere. That's good anywhere. It's really good at Ole Miss as the program is continuing to build upward. Don't they need more big offensive linemen now that they lost like four or five? So I think both what would have been starting tackles, if not for injury this season, are returning. So Pounds, the assumption is he'll be back. And again, by the end of the season, he was useful and helpful for Ole Miss. And Williams, when he's not hurt, would have been the other starting tackle for Ole Miss. I think both of them will be back. And if that's the case, They need depth for sure, but it's more about the interior, and we'll see. I mean, they've got to be better there. It's a very elementary statement, I know, but overall, the spread tempo offenses in the SEC were pretty bad this year. Can't tell you anyone who was extremely prolific. Texas on paper was great, but couldn't score. Yeah. Did I stop at Bucky's? No, I didn't. So I was going to on the way, and the exit was backed up onto the highway, so never mind. And then today, we had to stop. We had to stop like 12 miles before Bucky's, and so stopping, driving for 15 minutes, and then stopping again didn't make sense to me. I wanted to. I really wanted to. I love Bucky's, but there aren't many SEC-ready offensive linemen in the portal, and the ones that are will be getting around $1.5 million a year. I don't know about the number. I know it would be astronomically high. But, yeah, there's not many, if any, SEC-ready offensive linemen in the portal. I mean, it's a lot of guys that are stepping up a level in competition. A lot of them. I mean, I saw Illinois had a guy from Mississippi who played, I guess, high school and junior college ball in Mississippi before he went to Illinois. Hit the portal today. Maybe that's an option, but there's not many of them. There's really not. Always make a stop at the Buc-ee's in Leeds when you're passing through. Yeah. I do really like it there. With this portal class and the back-to-back high school ones, how many games do I think Freed needs to win to save his job? 8+, right? And what if he loses to Bama and Georgia again? So their schedule, by the way, is pretty nuts. There's a chance here. I'm pulling it up right now. There's a chance they're entering their first bye week at 2-3. You ready for this one? At Baylor. You know, not easy. Certainly winnable, for sure. But not a guarantee. Ball State, South Alabama at home. At Oklahoma, at Texas A&M, and for good measure after the bye, Georgia. They could be starting 2-4. Starting 3-3 with still a trip to Arkansas, a trip to Vanderbilt, Alabama on the schedule, Missouri on the schedule still. Not saying, I'm just saying. Appreciate that, Jeffrey. Thank you, man. We had a really good time. We had a really good time. Definitely about Juice Wells. I remember hearing a lot of hype, but I don't remember but a few highlights all year and a lot of drops. And I know he was playing through some injury stuff, but the hype was real. That's the thing about Juice, man. That's what is so baffling is you've seen him do it in the SEC. Like, you've seen him produce at a high level in the SEC. I think partially they were using him incorrectly, but, man, the volume of drops and just poor play was so disappointing for a highly paid player. The offense just looks soft. That's not a shot at the players, but if you look at them play, they can't block up front and have to finesse and pass their way down the field, not like previous years. They do look – that's a really good way to put it. They're soft offensively. You were kind of on Sage Ryan, but I'll trust the defensive staff. Yeah. Still mad didn't even get to see Rashad Amos get a shot. That's so annoying. A lot of what they did was. Didn't stream around this. I know, I'm so bummed that I couldn't talk about playoffs with you guys. Thoughts on the first round playoff games and the upcoming quarterfinals? Wasn't surprised by any of the results except for Tennessee. Not surprised by any of that. Tennessee getting blown out surprised me. Losing, nah, that's not a surprise. But getting beaten down the way they did was kind of wild. I mean, I guess Ohio State was able to expose some of Tennessee's weaknesses, but running a lot of man against those wide receivers is just total nonsense. Total nonsense. Don't understand it. But none of those results, the other three, are surprising. I think that the discourse around it has been completely and totally dishonest. I'm actually going to talk about this on the radio show tomorrow a lot, since I wasn't there to do it. I think because of how imbalanced schedules are in college football, you're going to get this debate. And for some reason, it frustrates me so much that for some reason, people in my business that cover the sport are just unwilling to acknowledge that what SMU had to go through is not the same as what Alabama had to go through. Like, they pretend and they just dismiss any debate as, well, just take care of business. And there is truth to that statement. Alabama should not have lost to Oklahoma. But how many Oklahomas did SMU play? Did they play any? That's a top 30 roster talent perspective, composite talent perspective in college football. They went 6-6 because they played in the SEC. But how many Oklahomas did SMU play this year? Not many. How many Oklahomas, even 6-6 Oklahoma, bad Oklahoma, how many of them did Indiana play this year that have that kind of talent on defense, just on either side of the ball, but especially defensively? Indiana played one team before the playoff that had the defensive talent as Oklahoma, and it was Ohio State, and Ohio State beat them badly. I don't know why we can't acknowledge that as reality. We have to, like, attack Kirk Herbstreit for having a relative innocuous opinion, like, hey, you know, who you play's got to matter. And it's like, everybody strike, go get Kirk Herbstreit. It's bizarre. The discourse is insane. Schedules are imbalanced. That has to be acknowledged. And that's okay that that's the case. What I want to do is completely remove two things. Conference champions earning a bye. That's got to go. That absolutely has to go. Treating Boise State's Mountain West championship the same as Oregon's Big Ten championship is lunacy. It's absolute lunacy. That's got to go away completely. Automatic bids and buys for conference champions has to go away. But the thing to me that needs to go away the most is a committee, is a selection committee. I know we use it in basketball, but I think college football needs to go to an objective model. We've got them. We use the net. We have the precedent. You can't argue with the net in college basketball. It is the ranking. It is definitive. It is based on objective measures. You have quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four. Why can we not have that in college football? We do it in basketball, and it's universally accepted as truth. We have the RPI in baseball, a little bit flawed. That's why basketball changed it. But it's universally accepted because you cannot argue with the objective measures that exist in the RPI. College football needs to do completely away with the committee. Done. Because why, even if it's not intentional, why are we letting the athletic director at Michigan decide who makes the playoff? Why are we letting the athletic director at Arkansas decide who makes the playoff? There are biases. There are, even if they're not biased, there are subjective measures that they take into account. There's emotions. There's their pockets. There's their school's pockets, obviously. There's unintentional biases. They're human beings. Remove the human element completely. Develop a net for college football, and that is our gospel, because you can't argue against it. Do not have automatic bids. This four for the SEC, four for the Big Ten model that they're proposing, and two for the other two, I think that's a joke as well, because the ACC clearly this season was a bad, that it was a down league. It was a bad league. They didn't deserve one bid, let alone two. But if they're going to get one, okay, so be it. But the ACC was really bad this year. Does it mean it's going to be bad forever? No. So why are we only giving them two automatic bids and the Big Ten four? The the Big Ten might not be good forever. The SEC might not be good forever, although they've been on top of the sport for two decades. Why are we guaranteeing four bids to this league and two bids to this league when they can change their standing on a given year? The ACC was bad this year. It could be a good bid, a good league next year. Syracuse is on the rise. Good quarterback play. They're portaling pretty well. Got a lot of guys returning. Clemson, maybe, you know, they take a step forward again. Miami's reloading. They're like, what if the ACC is a good league next year? Why should they only get two if they deserve four? But we're going to lock ourselves into automatic bids for leagues that may not deserve it. Forget all of that. Remove all of the humans. Develop an algorithm, whatever you want to call it. Develop the net. Take the human element completely out of selection, and there's no more debates. There's no more arguments. There's no more trying Nicole Auerbach trying to dunk on her, Kirk Herbstreit because she works for NBC, a direct partner with the Big Ten, and he works for ESPN, a direct partner with the SEC and also ACC and also the college football playoff. Anyway, remove it completely. That's my takeaway, is get rid of the humans and it will sort itself out. And postseason is always the worst part of college football season. It really is. It really is. Got a big basketball game on Saturday? No doubt. No doubt. So they have 19 games remaining. 8-11, I think, gets them in the tournament. Hey, Dad talked about this today. Yeah, I didn't get to listen to a second of the show today. I chose not to. For obvious reasons. No, I'm kidding. Looking at State and Ole Miss's first four SEC games in basketball is what both teams' record entering the January 18th game. I think I read that poorly, but I'm pull up Ole Miss's schedule right now. So Georgia, Arkansas, LSU, Alabama for Ole Miss before that game. Ole Miss has to have at least two wins. Georgia and LSU at home both have to be wins. If they're 2-2 going into that game, they're fine. Let's see. Mississippi State, however, South Carolina's got to be a win. Ooh, okay. They have Bethune-Cookman on Monday. Jeez. That's a net loser regardless. So State's got South Carolina at Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and at Auburn. Ooh. I mean, they need to be 2-2 as well, especially with Tennessee after. Gosh, this league is such a miserable experience. Just a miserable experience. Aiken, South Carolina native. Jeffrey, glad to see you. It's just in your region of the country. Are they settled on the quarterback search? Not at all. Not at all. Unless news has broken since I've started about Ole Miss adding a quarterback. They have not settled at all. Not at all. I mean, the assumption is Austin Simmons is the starter, but the room itself is not settled. Don't know if it's possible, but couldn't the SEC just stack the schedules on the side of the great teams like what Texas got? Texas did get a pretty favorable schedule, didn't they? Also, don't even know if 12 teams is right. I actually liked 8 with no auto bids. I think 16 with no auto bids, but I like more games. I'm an advocate for more games. So maybe you're just sour on 12 teams because the system around it is broken. It is broken. Why did Boise State and Arizona State get to sit at home last weekend? Why? What's the justification for that? Because they won the Mountain West and the Big 12? What a joke. And then on top of that, Oregon has the much more difficult game this weekend than Penn State does. Oregon won the Big Ten, and Penn State has an easier path. Explain that. Georgia won the SEC, and Texas has the easier path. At least Texas and Penn State had to play in the conference championship games. But what if Tennessee had beaten Ohio State? What if Tennessee had, just play that out with me, what if Tennessee had beaten Ohio State? Tennessee and Oregon would have played the same number of games. So Oregon would have had no benefit to the bye. They don't even get a home game. They had to play in the Big Ten championship. Tennessee did not. The whole concept of these auto bids and these byes, it's so wrong. They screwed it up is what they did. It's wrong. The way, if you got to keep it at 12, you have to just 12 teams. Or if you have to include conference champions, which they won't after next year anyway, don't give them auto buys. Makes no sense. Haven't used your kids' tablet? Oh, no. I'm sure they're enjoying this. While we're discussing changes, can we stop trying to add teams to March Madness? And why do 12 seeds have to play in games instead of 15 or 16 seeds? Because they want to reward the conference champions, although, you know, some of them do. No, they need to stop adding teams to March Madness. 64 teams was enough. 68 is certainly enough. There's way more parity in the sport, but mainly in the SEC, the other conferences, minus the top of the Big Ten, weren't even close. They're not even close. They're not, and that's okay. For some reason, people just refuse to acknowledge that. I mean, it's not. There are some people that talk themselves into the false reality that it's just media bias and not the fact that the SEC wins more games against the other power conferences than all of the other ones. They compete for and win more championships than all of the other ones, and they put more players in the NFL than all of the other ones. By every objective measure, it is the best league still to this day. Their record against the other power conferences is by far the best still this season. I don't know why. And what bothers me is people go along with it. But people that cover college football at the national level try to tell you that what you know as objective reality is not true. They want you to not believe what your own eyes see on a weekly and annually basis, an annual basis. It's a joke. A lot of people forgot that Indiana and SMU are primarily made up of group of five players. Those are two good teams with rosters that would not have made it through at 9-3 with Alabama's schedule or South Carolina's schedule or, yes, even Ole Miss's schedule with Kentucky on it. Do I think Ole Miss wins on Saturday? I do. 3-1 is possible in that stretch for Ole Miss. Arkansas is a little streaky. If Ole Miss goes through the first four games at 3-1, they're making the NCAA tournament. I would guarantee it after four games, barring injury. Last thing for me as well. They got to revert back to the old overtime rules. Multiple bowl games have gone 5+ overtimes, and it's not the same. They need to go back. It's too gimmicky. It's way too – there was not a necessary reason for them to do that. They didn't have to do that at all. They didn't, and they chose to do it for the sake of games that happen once every 5 years, and it's just an unnecessary rule change. But anyway. Hey, Austin, hope you had a great Christmas as well, and all of you, hope all of you had a great Christmas. I'm thinking about doing some post-game content for the Memphis game. I know for every SEC basketball game I'm going to. Quick thoughts or maybe even live depending on the game. So I might start that on Saturday just to go ahead and start getting in the routine of treating basketball kind of the same way we did football with immediate post-game content because I think that's what you guys want. This is a very interesting basketball team and a very interesting season, and I think that needs to be part of it. So that'll probably start on Saturday. I'll see you guys then, and then also, of course, on Sunday as well. Yeah, thank you, Edward. Man, yeah, we had a great time and hope you did as well. And we'll see you guys definitely live on Sunday, but probably Saturday after the game as well. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.